You're listening to episode 39, brought to you by PrepDish. For your free 2-week trial, go to prepdish.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast for real moms who are seeking Jesus, trying to live their roles well, and seeking to add a little bit more loveliness to their life, even in just the little moments. I'm your host, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, and today we have on one of my favorite guests, back for her third time, Trisha Goyer. But before we get into Trisha's amazing interview, I want to talk a little bit about our giveaway that we still have going on. So you guys, I'm sure a lot of you have seen this already, but over on Instagram, we have a giveaway going on for a bunch of books, a happy planner, a beautiful message canvas Bible, and lots of other things. So you're going to want to go over there and check it out. The biggest way that you can get into this giveaway is actually by leaving ratings and reviews in iTunes. If you just search for the show on iTunes, click on the little ratings and reviews button at the top. You can do this on your phone or on iTunes on your computer. That really, really helps iTunes to remember that, oh yeah, Cultivating the Lovely is back and rolling and people are interested, and it helps to share it with other people so that more women can be exposed to the podcast and we could do even more amazing things with the group and with the podcast. So thank you so much for doing that. If you're interested in getting involved in the group, you can also go to facebook.com and search for Cultivating the Lovely Prayer and News Group. We also, of course, have links to all of these things on our website at cultivatingthelovely.com. You can always go there to see show notes and get the links to anything that we talk about, see our latest sponsor. All of that good stuff is all on the website. And make sure that you sign up for our newsletter also, because you're going to find out exactly what's going on with the group and everything if you sign up there. So it's a lot to do to get involved, but I so appreciate it. And I love hearing back from you guys and having you guys involved in the process. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Get into the giveaway. It's only for a few more days. And now let's get talking about this awesome episode. I know I keep saying it's an awesome episode, but you guys, I got to sit down with Trisha and talk about her latest book, Walk It Out, and it is so good. It may be one of her very, very best. It's so heartfelt and so encouraging while also convicting at the same time. And I can't wait for you guys to hear us just really talk about it and be able to kind of pick it apart. But I also wanted to mention that if you order before October 1st, which is just in a couple of days, you will actually get Trisha's 30 Days of Prayer As You Walk It Out book completely free. You will get the ebook version of it. It's going to actually be released later this year or early next year as a hard copy book as well. You can get it before it's officially released. Least in this ebook version, and I think it's going to be a really big encouragement to you guys. I just love everything that Trisha has to say. So let's dive right into our episode. Welcome, Trisha.
Hey, thanks for having me. I always love talking to you, Mackenzie.
And I always love having you on. I know we were just chit-chatting before I hit record and was like, I don't even have to have too many notes because I know that Trisha and I will just be chit-chatting forever.
Yes, so, of course.
And that's the way I like it. It's so much more fun to just have it be like, everyone can just be a fly on the wall to our little conversation.
That's right. Because we do this even when we're not recording too.
Right, so. Exactly. So for everyone, that, I mean, obviously you've been on the show quite a few times already, but for people who aren't familiar with who you are, would you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Trisha Goyer, and I've been married to John for 27 years, and we have 10 kids, and you might hear them in the background. I told my husband to try to keep them quiet. We only have 8 living at home right now.
Just 8.
Two are married. So the youngest at home is 6, and the oldest at home is 23, and he's like my right-hand man.
Oh, I bet.
I told him he cannot leave. Like, he literally is looking into apartments. I'm like, No, you cannot do this.
I need you here.
Exactly. My husband travels a lot for work, so he's awesome. But we've adopted the younger 7 kids from foster care. And my son and daughter-in-law and grandkids live close too, so they're at our house a lot. So it's awesome. We always just have a ton of people. Yeah. We just had dinner with 14 people around the table and TV trays and everything. But I also write books. I have over 70 books out.
And that's so fun. That number has ticked up every time you've been on the show. That's so fun.
Yeah, because I think I've had three or four come out this year. I was
Wow.
always like, okay,
Yeah.
what number am I? I need to
Yeah.
just, sometimes I'll just go back and count, like, how many are we at now?
Yeah. That's
And
so
that's
funny.
what I do. I write, and sometimes I travel to speak, which is fun, and take care of these kids.
Yep. And you do a darn good job of it, as evidenced by this amazing book that we're going to talk about in a little while. But, okay, I do want to say one thing. You mentioned Nathan, and he has a new book out as well.
Yes. So he has a book called Basque, and it's a novel, and it's like a sci-fi. Someone, one of his reviewers said it's like a mix of Robin Hood and Star Wars. So it's an awesome like time travel sci-fi book, but he's been writing it for the last couple of years, and it would have been out sooner, but he was waiting for mom to like read through it and edit it. Finally, I did, and I was just so impressed. And this is the kid that would sit there when he was like three with these little dinosaurs and like have these imaginary stories in his mind. You could say like, "What are your dinosaurs doing?" And he would like, "This is the father, and he just escaped." I mean, if this, I mean, this little
Oh,
3-year-old that come up with this
that's so
amazing
funny.
story. So it's really cool. Yeah.
I downloaded the just like the introduction to the book. I'm gonna get the whole book, but I didn't have time yet because I've been cramming for all these podcast interviews. And so I just read like the preview you can get off of Amazon of
Yeah.
Basque. And I have to say, like, it was much better than I would expect, like a first-time author right out of the gate. Like, I was drawn in from the very introduction, and I thought it kind of had like a National Treasure feel
Yeah,
to
yep.
it. Like, I'm
Yeah.
excited to get farther into it. There were so many different characters. He had really good character development. I was like, ooh, this is gonna be really good. Like, I could really see him having a future in this. So I'm super excited.
It's super layered because I got to the end and a character I kind of forgot about like showed up and it just worked perfectly. I'm like, oh my
Oh,
goodness, how did you do that? So,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
So I was, and we hired an editor because I'm like, okay, I hire editors. Like,
Yeah.
I, you know, so I'm gonna miss stuff. And she was like, wow, this is his first book. So I'm just super proud of him.
You
So
should
yeah,
be.
he definitely can't move out and he just has to
Yeah.
keep writing books.
There you
So
go.
stay at home and write books, and that's
Yes,
it.
as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
That's so fun. So, what else? So, he put this out this summer, but what else have you been up to over the summer? And have you had a lot going on?
Well, we drove to Seattle from Arkansas
That's
in
right.
May. So that was kind of like, it was still May, but it was kind of like the kickoff to our summer. And
Yeah.
so but we drove through Montana and through Washington and into Seattle and then down through Oregon and I don't know whatever states. We went through the Grand Canyon on the way home. And so it was 6,000 miles on the
Wow.
car. Yeah, it was crazy. Actually, it was like 5,995. I'm like, John, you just need to like drive down the road. He looks at me like, no, we are five. We like, we're not going to do 5 more miles.
That's
So we did
hilarious.
that, which the kids, we just, you know, everyone has their devices now and we
Yeah.
listened to a couple books on tape. So they did awesome. They loved Seattle. We had a friend and we were able to stay right on the Puget Sound. And so they were able to collect seashells. And it's so funny because like we got there in the evening and the tide was in. So it was like right close to the house. And then when they woke up in the morning, the tide was out. And one of the kids woke up, came out and said, well, who broke the ocean? Because it was like way far out.
That's funny.
And so we had to explain about tides. And so I was speaking up there at a conference. And so they were able to go. So that was fun. We
That's
did
awesome.
a lot of therapy this summer. All of our kids,
Yeah.
adopted kids, have some level of special needs from dyslexia and some have sensory issues. So I mean, it wasn't for like we didn't get the whole summer off because 3 days a week, actually, no, 5 days a week, there was someone going to therapy. So
Wow.
that was hard. And then we just started homeschool last week. And literally, like the day I sat down and we got started, I realized, oh my goodness, I have a senior this year. Like I kind of knew in my mind that I had a senior.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, I'm like, college, money, scholarships. And she did the ACT in the spring. So she's been getting like letters from colleges. But it's just like in my mind, like this is not like, oh yeah, we need to get to that stuff. But
Yeah.
like this is like the top of my to-do list now.
Yeah, now
So
it's serious business.
it's serious business. But she was adopted from foster care. And so really, we've only had like a year and a half with her.
Yeah.
So part of me is like, I asked her, I'm like, don't you want to just homeschool an extra year at home? And she looks at me like, really? I don't think
Don't
so,
you just want to go to online college and just
Mom.
stay here? That's what I keep telling my kids. Like, there are so many good online options these days.
Yeah, I
Just
know,
stay
but she
home.
just looks at me, and she's so mature, and she's awesome. Her relationship with God has really, really grown since we've had her, and she's ready, and like, and
Yeah.
you know, I just know I mean, she'll be definitely be ready by next fall to go to college. I'm like, just not so far away, okay?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're all talking colleges, and she wants to go to Christian college, so
Oh,
we're just looking
cool.
into stuff now.
That's amazing. That's so good. I love to hear that. And back to kind of on your trip, though. So I'm curious about this. I follow this other family on YouTube who has all these kids, and they have 9 kids, and 5 of them are adopted from China. And they got them at older ages, though. I think the oldest one they got was 14. And so they've got all kinds of ages. And they traveled around the US for a year
Oh,
in
wow.
a fifth wheel trailer. And now they're actually traveling around the world. But they started traveling not that long after they got their last 3 kids. And it just seems like that experience of just being them traveling really solidified them as a family, like built their family culture, forced them to be a family. Do you feel like even on your trip, that obviously wasn't a year, but it was still like a big trip, do you think that helped like forming those mutual memories and like that kind of thing? Did you see any of that come out of your trip?
You know, I never thought about it, but yeah, like you're like making me sit here and think right now. But yeah, because even like when we paired up, like who was sitting by who. So we have older kids sitting by younger kids just for
Sure.
like they can help them get a
Yeah.
drink or they can help them
Yeah.
with a snack. And so I could definitely see, you know, then we would see, you know, one of the older kids who's a sibling group, you know, so those four knew each other well, but they'd be
Yeah.
helping the younger kids. And a lot of people, you know, when they first moved in, people were saying like, oh, I bet it was great that you now you have older kids to help with the younger kids. Well, they hadn't been taking care of themselves, so
Yeah,
you know they just
yeah.
wanted to be taken care of. So I do think like we did that long trip. We did Montana last year, which was long too. We've done Florida, so we have done these trips, and I think it's totally true because now we say, oh yeah, we did this trip and we have this time in the car together and we all listen to the same book on tape together and we're
Yeah.
talking about it. So. And I think we homeschooled the same way too. Like we start off the first 2 hours all around the table together. And so we study the Bible together and we read together. And so I think all these things, which people are like, why would you put go 6,000 miles in the car with all these kids? But it does. It has really built us as a family unit. And, you know, now, you know, before definitely people would be pairing off, maybe the younger and the olders would like be separate, and now they're kind of doing stuff together, which is really cool to see
That
that
is
they're
cool.
building bonds with
Yeah.
everybody, not just like their biological siblings.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love to hear that. So you had a big summer, and then have you got big plans for this fall?
Homeschool.
Yes.
That's
That
what
sounds like my fault.
I'm traveling. I'm going to the MOPS convention,
Fun.
and then I'm doing the Raising Generations conference in New York State. So I
Oh,
have a couple
cool.
things that I'm doing, but just for us, it's just homeschooling. And but you know, they actually are really enjoying it. The 14-year-old sat down today, and she's like, "I really love homeschool." So you know, this
Oh.
is something like when we first adopted them, they're like, "You're not gonna make us homeschool, are you?"
Yeah.
But they're really enjoying it. In fact, I got out from blow and dried my hair, and we weren't supposed to start till 9 a.m. and it was 8:30, and everyone was like sitting around the table waiting for me.
That's
They even got the
awesome.
books out that I read, and it was like a stack there. I'm like, I guess we're starting at 8:30 today.
That's awesome.
It's just really neat to see, and it's not perfect. Like I don't want anyone to
Yeah.
think they're still squabbling and fighting, and she took my pencil and you know all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's going really good, and so that's just our fall. And it's just good to be in a routine again and have, you know,
Yeah.
our school time and then our dinners together and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think we've been feeling that same thing. Like this summer, I mean, we did a lot of great, fun things. We went on a road trip to Montana and we did, like, there was just a lot of stuff packed into this summer. But I'm definitely seeing how it wore on my kids just not having that daily routine, especially one of my guys we're finding out we have some extra special issues with. And So getting back into this like fall, okay, we can establish a routine. Everybody can know what to expect. It's just helpful. And like, it feels like I can kind of breathe out again. Like, okay, it's going to be all right. We're going to get back into this routine. And I think we've been having kind of what you're saying. My oldest one, he's 11, so he's going into sixth grade, which you're saying you have a senior. I'm stunned I have a sixth grader. Like, what? You're almost out of elementary school. How is this happening?
But that's a big step, too.
It is. And he has, for the first time this year, he's, like, taking initiative. It's not just a battle all day long of, come on, you've got to get this done. He actually, I let them go play outside after lunch today, and he came in, and he was like, I'm bored. I'm just going to go get my math done and get my schoolwork out of the way. I was like, okay.
Oh.
I have never heard that before. Can this last all year? So, yeah, I have high hopes for what this year
yes,
could bring.
Yes, exactly. And it does, they do mature. Like, they do mature. I keep telling myself that when I'm dealing with these little things. Like, okay, they're going to mature. You know, and it has helped raising three already. Like, okay, this is a phase. Like, I know we'll get past this. I see my adult children who are, I just love, and I'm not that they're perfect either, but we just have a really good relationship. And so it's cool to see like, okay, they will grow up and they will, you know, want to come to me for advice and want to spend time with me, instead of just like, mom.
Yeah, I know. And right now it's like, I only have the vantage point of 11 and younger. So I've got a really great perspective on like the 2-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so much for these older grades. And especially because like my 11-year-old, we still have some like learning struggles with and that sort of thing. So to see him taking initiative in other ways, even though we're dealing with other learning struggles, is so like, okay, like we will be okay. He will be okay. Yeah. So it's always good though to hear from like you guys who've gone before. It's even going to be better. So I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get into the meat of this new book that you have out, but I want to do it after we hear a quick word from our sponsor. We are going to take just a moment to hear a word from our sponsor, PrepDish. You guys, fall is in the air. It has officially hit the Pacific Northwest. We went from 98 degrees at the very beginning of September to about 58 degrees just a week later. So it definitely hits us hard and fast. And with all that change in the weather comes lots of activities. And so anything that I can do to make my life a little bit easier is greatly appreciated, and PrepDish helps me do that. As I've told you guys before, they have wonderful options for recipes. They've got gluten-free and paleo recipes that they will send you each week in a format that allows you to just go into your kitchen one day a week for a couple of hours and get everything prepped ahead of time. So when it comes to dinner time, all you have to do is a few last minute things, get things warmed up, usually takes no more than 5 to 20 minutes, and you've got a home cooked dinner on the table. This is so huge to me because our family really values having that family time around the table and eating healthy food and not spending an arm and a leg on takeout. Plus, I love knowing that things are done ahead of time for myself. It's like giving myself a future gift. I do the same thing with our homeschool planning and just our general life planning. I like to know what's going on ahead of time and have as much done beforehand as possible. It just takes such a weight off of my shoulders. And in this especially stressful season, to know that my shopping plans are all completely made for me and I know what we're eating each week, it just helps me to breathe a sigh of relief. And then knowing that they're also meals that my family will eat. So if you want to try out PrepDish completely free for 2 weeks so that you can see if this is something that may really help you to be less stressed during your week, I really suggest that you go to prepdish.com/lovely. They will walk you through the process of getting signed up for your 2-week free trial. And then Allison will start sending out the emails with the meal plans and the recipes and the shopping lists and all the good stuff. And you can really get in there and fully check it out for yourself. There have even been weeks when I've really been on my game and I've been able to double or triple some of these recipes, pop them in the freezer, and have even more peace of mind. So there's so much that you can do with PrepDish. I really think that you will thank yourself if you check it out. So go to prepdish.com/lovely and you will get all set up. All right, now back to our interview. Okay, so you have this brand new book that is coming out
October 1st.
October 1st. Okay.
Or right around there. Yeah.
Okay. So you have this new book coming out the beginning of October. You guys, I know this episode is the end of September, so you're thinking, well, I can't even buy it yet. Yes, you can. Go to Amazon and pre-order this thing because you want it to show up on your doorstep the day that it comes out. I am not kidding you. I have read this entire book. It's so good, Trisha. It's so good.
Oh, thank you.
I think I didn't even get through the first chapter before I was messaging you. Like, this is one of your best books ever. It's so, so good. Do you want to just kind of give a synopsis of what it's about?
Yeah. So Walk It Out, The Radical Result of Living God's Word One Step at a Time. And basically, it's just a little bit of my personal story than a lot of application that people can do. And what does it mean to follow God? And I think so many times we're like, we need to find our purpose and we need to, you know, find what God has made us to do. And we need to do these things. And we think we find, like, we have to find one thing. And this is what I'm called to for life. And really, it's just God has shown me, obey me, like, just obey me and do what I say. And then amazing, radical things happen. Like, I never was one of those kids like, I'm going to adopt someday. I'm going to open a crisis pregnancy center. I'm going to write books. Like, none of those things was on my agenda at all. And just by, like, obeying God, when that still small voice that says, reach out to this person or write this down or do this one little thing. Like, when you obey him, it's like he knows the rest of the steps. We just have to do that one. I think so many times we get caught up in just trying to, like, figure it all out. And we're so worried that we're going to, like, make the wrong decisions. And everything has to be this big thing when he's just saying, just follow the one little thing that I've called you to do.
Yeah. Well, and I love that part of the book, too. It kind of threw all these stories that you sprinkle throughout, which, I mean, this book is just, it's filled with story and inspiration and conviction also, like, amazing conviction. But it's, like, good. Like, you come away being like, okay, like, it doesn't feel unmanageable, I guess is what I want to say.
Oh, that's good. Yes. I'm, like, hitting you over the head with the Bible.
Yeah. No, it was like, I liked how you showed in your stories, okay, I knew God wanted me to do this thing, but then maybe I kind of took it and, like, went overboard with it, or, like, the way that you were helping some of the teen moms, and you realized that you were doing too much, and it really wasn't helping them the way that you were handling the situation. You had to come back to what God originally told you to do, and so I think it's so transparent, and you even talk about being transparent in the book. But I loved how your story shows how you guys really have, like, you and John have tried to follow after the Lord, but it's not like you've done it perfect. It's not a self-aggrandizing book. It's really, like, showing all the different ways that God kept bringing you back and you being willing to follow.
Absolutely. And it's not like you're even trying to reach this level of perfection. Like, if I'm going to do this, then God's going to work everything out. Because, like, even today, I'm walking in my kitchen, I'm picking up toys off the floor, someone spilled something and didn't wipe it up, like, there's dirty socks on the top of my kitchen counter. You know, it's like, not like, okay, we follow God and then everything works out perfect and it's easy after that. It's like, it's still, like, hard to even follow the call. Like, we know we're exactly where we're supposed to be, like, where God has called us, but it's not like it's perfectly easy every day of our life. And I think sometimes we think, like, if we do this right thing, then we'll get to this comfort zone and that's where we get to stay. And it's like, no, God has something else for you. But it's good. It's, like, really, really good. I would never go back and change anything.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, right from the beginning of the book, you really make it clear that it's like, we tend to be very busy Christians trying to do things for God, but those aren't necessarily the things that he wants us to be doing. How many of us actually sit down and actually do what he talks about in the Bible, which are very, just, like, very plain things? And you and John have done a really good job, I think, of, like, boiling those things down and coming back to it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think so many times, you know, I'm the one that would, you know, be signing up for Bible studies or leading Bible studies, which is all so good. Like, we need to know God's word. Mm-hmm. But then it comes to the point where God's like, okay, are you going to, like, actually do it?
Yeah.
Are you actually going to go, you know, take care of the widows and the orphans and try to connect with someone that is racially different than you? I mean, you know, all these things are in the Bible, mm-hmm. but it's like, are we going to get out of our comfort zone and be willing to do those things?
Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, it's stepping out and doing the things that God wants us to do, but you make it very clear that it's not just like doing all the things and being busy with it. You have to have your priorities in line. Your chapter on crafting a purpose with your family, I just loved. And do you want to talk just more about that chapter? Because you give so much practical advice throughout the book as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, there was a season in our life when we just had three kids, I think just because, you know, but then we just had three. And I was so overwhelmed because we were running and we were doing all these things and the kids were all in all these activities and I was volunteering in all these areas. Every time someone asked me, I was, you know, saying yes. And it got to the point where I was just completely overwhelmed. And John's like, we need to really look at our schedule and figure out the things that we need to be doing, the things that we don't need to be doing. And he gave me permission to say no. Like if I didn't, like sometimes I said yes because I was guilty or, you know, what all those things, you know, it's just like, we just keep saying yes. And then once the calendar got cleared, so we actually had some white space where we cut out some of the kids' activities. We cut out some of the things that I was doing, like cleaning the church just because I felt guilty.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, what do we want to do? Like, where is our purpose as a family? And so we picked some things. We picked family dinners. We picked reading to our kids at night. We picked serving in our church together as a family. And, you know, so those are like three of our goals that we do. And those, we probably did that, I'm trying to think, 18 years ago or something. Yeah. And we're, those are like still our things.
Yeah.
So I'm still cooking dinner and we're eating around the table at night. When I put the kids to bed, I read to them every night. You know, it's part of homeschooling too, but that's just a special reading together at night. And we serve together in children's church on Sunday morning, first service. All our kids are there. The little kids are sitting in the children's church. The teens, preteens are helping with us, helping us. And it's like, this is who we are. And now those are our things. So your things would be completely different. And another listener, if she's out there, you know, her things would be completely different. But once you know your things, like this is our priority. So we, our kids are not in a lot of outside activities. We have right now, we have seven kids. We only have three of them signed up and it's the same thing. It's American Heritage Girls. It's Monday nights. It's twice a month. Those are our only evening things besides youth group.
Yeah.
And serving at Teen Mops. The preteens and teens help me by babysitting at Teen Mops. We don't have any other art lessons, music lessons, sport lessons, because if we did that, we would miss the time together as a family and the time reading together. And so I just realized, like, once you know what you want to say yes to, like what your purpose is as a family, then it can become so much easier to say no to all these other things.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And it's helpful when you actually sit down and outline those out, because it can be really easy to just be like, yeah, well, that's generally like what we want for our family. But when you actually put it on paper and are able to see what you're really doing, because I think a lot of times we think we're doing less than we actually are. And when you actually map it out and see it and then outline it, it's just, I think it's a more defining thing. I mean, I talk about it a lot with homeschooling, writing your mission statement, knowing why you're doing it and how you plan to do it, because it gives you better direction for how to get there.
Right. And just know that, like, we don't have to prove ourselves to anybody. Like, so many times I would think like, oh, we need to do this because all the other parents are gonna be like, oh, your kids aren't in any activities or and like, we have to prove ourselves, but it's like, no, this is us and this is God and this is what he put on our hearts. And we don't have to prove ourselves to anybody. Like, this is who God made our family to be. And our kids, it's cool to see, because like our older three, like our daughter did piano, but we took her out of dance. But she, when she became an adult, she joined the dance praise team at church and she did fine. She did a hip hop dance. She's a missionary in the Czech Republic. She was with all these teens doing a hip hop dance. It's like, when she was ready, she picked it up. Like, it was, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's things that she never went to all these classes or workshops for. But as an adult, she gets to explore those things that she's finding joy in. And she wasn't shuttled around everywhere during her childhood. So, you know, they have the opportunity when they get older to pursue things that they find interest in. And they do. So that's been pretty cool to see. Like, we don't have to give it to all this stuff poured into them when they're little. When they're adults, they get to explore the things that are really exciting to them.
Yeah, I think even Sally Clarkson talks about that with Joel, that, you know, he went on to get his, like, master's or something in music, and he didn't even have that many music lessons when he was younger.
Right.
And he just made up for it because then he knew what he wanted to do. And I like that. It's a good reminder to those of us who just have younger kids. Like, we don't have to just spread ourselves so thin with getting them to all the things and doing all the stuff.
Yeah, I never had any writing classes growing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, no one, like, took me to writing workshops, or, but I love to read. So when I became an adult and when my friend said, I want to be a writer, I thought, oh, I want to do that too, because I grew up loving to read and it just made sense and it made me happy and I love books.
Yeah.
But I discovered that when I was, you know, 22.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and I've written 70 books. So I think it's worked out okay.
Yeah, it seems to have. That's awesome. So I do want to go back kind of though to something you said a minute ago, that it'll look different for your family than for our family, and we don't have to prove anything to anyone. And you have a whole chapter in the book about letting your story be useful. And I mean, I know you have done that. Definitely. I mean, I just remember reading Blue Like Play-Doh and like just how transparent you were. And you talk about that in the book, that God didn't really use your writing until you were willing to go deep and bring all that you had to offer, everything you'd been through and everything in your life, up to the surface to make the characters, you know, dimensional. And he was able to use your story. He was able to redeem your story. And I think that's so important, because especially in our culture of, you know, edited Instagram photos and Pinterest perfection and everything, it's just so easy to not go deep with people.
Absolutely. And then we think, like, I'm the only ones with issues and problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that for so many years, because I had an abortion when I was 15, which is something that I really, really regret. And then I had a teen pregnancy. I was pregnant by the same boyfriend when I was 17 and chose to have my son, who's 28 now. And for years, like, I didn't tell my story because I was so ashamed of my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for sure, like, even my closest friends, like, if they knew, they would hate me. And, you know, I just was so ashamed. But it was very clear. God was like, you need to share this now. Like, I found healing through a post-abortion Bible study. And then our pastor's like, you need to share your story in church. And I just knew, like, okay. And that was like my first public speaking, was sharing about having an abortion. I'm like, seriously, God, like, this is so hard. But once I looked out there and saw the compassion on people's faces.
Yeah.
And then the other women in the congregation that had carried that shame, that came and talked to me afterwards. Many of them went through the Bible study themselves. And it's like, my story brought healing to other people. And they learned how to forgive themselves, just like I learned how to forgive myself for those mistakes made when I was not with God, you know. And it's like, God just needed me to go deep quickly, because otherwise I was trying to write before that. It was like fluffy little stuff that would never have gotten published, because people want to read stuff that matters. And but all of us, we are afraid to share our stories, but people want to know, like, oh, you've messed up too. And like, once we share how we've messed up, it gives permission to other people to open up their hearts to us.
Yeah. And I think it doesn't even have to be the same story, like, for people able to relate to it. Just being open and honest with what your life has looked like in the past and even currently, I think, helps people to let their guard drop and feel like they can trust you to have real conversations. I think it's just so easy. I mean, we see so many Bible teachers and everybody who make themselves out to have it all together, and they fall. And there isn't that accountability, because if you're not being honest, then there isn't accountability, because people think, oh, they must just have it together. But when they actually are real with things, then people come alongside, and I just think that your story is so much more impactful.
Yeah. And there's something I just heard that didn't even make it into the book, but just applies to it. It's like, depression is emotions pushed down and unexpressed.
Mm.
So like, when you're depressed, you're just, you know, in your own pain and shame, and you're pushing everything down, but when you let it out, it's like it it brings life and light to yourself. Like,
yeah.
telling your story, like, frees you up in the inside. And, like, the first time I told my story, it was at a post-abortion Bible study about having an abortion. This is, like, beyond my mom knew, and then John, before we got married, knew. But, like, telling them to people I had just met that night, like, I walked home feeling like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off my chest.
Wow.
Because I was, it's a lot of work holding that in. And we put up a wall when we're trying to protect ourselves and protect ourselves from the pain and shame and not letting that out. Like, we put up walls that keep us from enjoying life and laughter and joy and all these things. It's like that wall will keep in the darkness if we're trying to hide it from people, but it also keeps out all the good stuff that we're missing out on. And the freer that I became with my story, the more I was able to experience all kinds of emotions. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember before I wouldn't even be able to, like, cry at a Hallmark commercial. Like, there was no, because I was so, it was so much work holding everything in,
yeah,
that I was, like, almost numb. And then once I started, like, sharing my story and asking for forgiveness and, you know, asking God to touch all these places of my heart and helping other people do that, like, all of a sudden I'd be, like, crying at a Hallmark commercial. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this about? You know? And now I'm, like, listening to podcasts and I'm, like, crying as I'm folding laundry and my kids are like, what are you doing? Oh, this lady just shared this story. So, I mean, but it's a good thing. Like,
yeah,
we need to be feeling those emotions.
Yeah, we need to have that vulnerability, or yeah, you just kind of walk through life numb. And mm-hmm. I like what you said, too. It's because if you're honest and you're vulnerable with people, then it allows you to have community and real relationships with other people. If you're constantly putting on this facade, or, you know, trying to make it out that you've got more together than you do, or, you know, it's just putting up so many walls for relationships, even for you to help other people, but for other people to help you also.
Yeah. And even to the point where, I mean, for years, my house was, like, pretty clean. And, you know, I always try to, like, because I felt like I had to prove something. That's so yeah. much of my story. Just, like, have to prove myself that I, you know, after all these bad things, I'm going to prove I'm going to be a good Christian. But people are way more comfortable now when they come over. And they're just like, I'm like, oh, yeah, just kick those Legos to the side. And they come in and their kids are running and they're crazy. And it's okay. Like, they yeah. don't feel like, oh, don't touch that. Don't get into that. Because my house is, you know, has toys on the floor.
Yeah.
Dishes in the sink, and they yeah. feel more comfortable with it instead of, like, feeling like, oh, I'm unapproachable. Like, she has it all together.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Of course, I don't know that my house has ever been like that great to begin with. It's usually the last minute panic. My kids are familiar.
Well,
with.
I still do that too, but.
Yeah. But now it's not as meticulous that you go
right,
for.
Like, my, yeah. my level of clean before, I would have been horrified. Like, yeah. I don't know, looking back, the old Trisha Boone, like, oh my goodness, you let people in your house like that? But now I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's good. God still loves me, even with the toys everywhere.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that when, like, a friend is going through something or they're feeling extra vulnerable, like, the best gift that I can give them is just, like, a picture of my laundry room, or
yeah,
like
exactly.
a picture of my kitchen right after I made dinner or something. Like, yep, I don't have it together either. Like, you're not alone. We're in this together.
Exactly.
It's so yeah, encouraging.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. One story that I thought was just, it was amazing, was the story about your grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
And this view of heaven that you got. You guys really have to read the book. But you and John, I mean, opened your house not only to all these kids that you've adopted, but to your grandparents as well. And you walked through his last years with him. And are you going to cry if you talk about that one?
We could talk about it. I love sharing okay. it because it was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
So, can we just share the story just around
yes.
his death? I mean,
yeah.
they could read it in the book too, but I just, okay. So my grandpa moved in when he had cancer. So we knew, and he was 83 and he did not want to do chemotherapy and stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, I've lived a good life. I'm okay. Going to be with Jesus. Because it would prolong his life by, like, 6 months, you know,
yeah.
he had bladder cancer and he just didn't want to do that. So him and my grandma moved in with us. And, you know, at first you really didn't notice, but then you could just tell he gets got weaker and weaker. And it got to the point where we knew that it wouldn't be long. We knew it'd be like a week or two. And, you know, I would just spend as much time with them as possible. Well, one day I was homeschooling the kids and my grandma's like, Trisha, come here. And I walk in the bedroom where they were at. And my grandpa's like this super sweet, quiet cowboy type guy, like never really showed. I mean, he showed emotions, but not like over the top.
Yeah.
But he was like, had his hands lifted and he was just praising God. He's like, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And I've never seen that from him. Just like, and wow. Tears are just streaming down his face as he's laying in this hospital bed. And I'm like, oh, you know, we just start praying with him. And afterwards I asked grandma, what was going on? And grandma's like, he said, grandma, do you smell that? That's the most amazing smell. And he's like, grandma, do you see those birds? Look at those white birds. They're so beautiful. And grandma, do you see that lion? If I wow. could paint, I would want to paint that lion. And then he just started weeping. And later he told us, he'd start crying like every time he tried to tell us, but he just saw Jesus like standing there with his arms extended out to him. Which was just like, it was so amazing that Jesus allowed us like to have that glimpse with grandpa, like, so he could tell us about it.
Yeah.
Cause it was just so powerful. I mean, it was so clear just from the emotion that it was a very real thing that
yeah.
he was seeing. But then even after he slipped into unconsciousness, I'd be sitting there like reading my Bible. I'd read out loud to him and I'd pray for him and I'd thank God for him and all these things. And the room was like heaven was halfway there.
Wow.
And it was like this almost electric energy. And it was seriously like I could feel a presence behind me. Like there was an angel standing on my shoulder. Like I like slowly
so
turned
crazy.
My head and be like I was almost positive. I turned around really fast. I'd be able to see this angel standing there. But it was like before, because my grandparents are like, I'm super close to them. My mom was a single mom. So I lived with them part of my growing up years and they've just been super close to me. And I was always like, I'm not going to be able to handle it when I lose one of my grandparents.
Yeah.
And just that experience is like, oh my goodness. Like I don't want grandpa to be here any longer because it's just such an amazing thing. And so it just gave me a whole view on eternity and like what's waiting for us. And we get so wrapped up in these comforts and stuff here when like Jesus is like, I have so much for you, like, and so much for other people. And it really made me think like, I need to tell other people, like they're going to miss out on this if I don't like share the good news more. So it just, that experience is just really was transforming in my life. And my grandma is 87 and she still lives with us. So she's lived with us since my grandpa moved in 1999.
Wow.
So we've had grandma a long time and she just putters around the house and she can still like get herself dressed and make her toast and make her cappuccino in the morning, you know, with her instant cappuccino.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll be 88 soon. So.
Wow. I love that story because it's like, not only does it show God's grace to your grandpa of like, giving him this glimpse of what he was going to and letting him, you know, not be scared or, you know, just like totally ready for it. But the fact that he was able to convey it to you guys was so gracious as well, you know, just to allow you, like you were saying, I was going to be so hard, but to let him go with joy and to know that.
Yeah.
And you know,
that like, it's okay. Like you can go now.
Yeah. I know a gal who lost her husband a couple years ago now, but I mean, it was kind of that same, like his final moments. She said he went from being, you know, completely unconscious for days to he opened his eyes and his eyes just got wide and he was like, and like, he was just amazed, like couldn't even believe. And then he passed. And it was like you said, there's the veil was just so thin. And as hard as it was for her to lose her husband, she was so grateful for that moment of being able to see like, oh my goodness, he's seeing what he's going to. And I think that's such a catalyst for us. Like not only was it gracious to you to be able to see that, but like you talk about in the book, that gave you then the reason to do more and to share Jesus with more people.
Yeah. Even Sunday, I got up in front of our church and we need childcare workers for our teen mom support group, which I lead once a week. And I'm like, okay, so I'm asking you to rock babies and play with toddlers, but the real reason I need you, because these young women need to know about eternity. Like they need to know that it's not all about this inner city neighborhood where there's shootings every night. And like, there's something more that they can look forward to. And God has something for them and big plans for their lives. And I know that it, you know, it's hard giving up one evening a week to come and rock a baby or to play with toddlers, but I have something I need to tell these girls. And that's exactly the reason. I mean, of course, we're teaching them about like parenting and car seat safety, but, you know, while they're there getting their free diapers, we're telling them about eternity and what they have to look forward to. And it just made me so, like, that experience has just made me like, people need to hear about this. We need to tell them about this. Made me passionate about it.
Yeah. Well, it gives me chills to even think about. So I'm so glad that you shared it. It was just, so good. And it's such a good catalyst. And there's so much more in this book. I was telling Trisha before we even started the interview, like, I don't even know where to begin because every chapter is like its own book. There is so much packed in these 217 pages. There's discussion questions and like things to help you take things farther and really put it to practice. So I can't recommend this book enough. Like, I have so many pages dog-eared, and I mean, I try to read all the books that come my way for the podcast and everything, but this is one that I know will be sticking closer than some because it's just so good.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I love that I was able just to share my heart. And you know, we were talking about like every chapter is almost this whole thing we could talk about, you know, whether it's race issues or serving others or missions. But and I think that just goes to show, like, when I first got started, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a Christian writer and I'm going to homeschool my kids and this is my life. And God's like, oh, wait, I have so much more for you. And I think so many times God will call us to something and we think, okay, this is it for life. And he's like, this is a season and this season is going to grow you and it's going to draw you closer to me. And you're going to realize you can't do it on your own and that you need me. And then once you do that season, I have a new season for you where you're going to grow and learn and do more. So I think that's what I hope the book shows.
Yeah.
It's not like me like trying to do everything, but it's like, this is a season and this is what God taught me. And this is application that you can apply to your own life with whatever season that you're in.
Yeah, I definitely found the book very encouraging in that way, especially just you can't see the future. And that's the glory in being able to trust him and just try to do what he's putting in front of you, because if you're trying to conjure it all up yourself, it's not going to be as good as if you just walk with him and see there's even more stuff you talk about, like how God cares about the little details, like the littlest things that we think that, you know, he's got you know, hungry people to feed in Africa, like why would he care about these little details of our lives? But he does. And so, yeah, I just think that the book was just so full of hope and just the encouragement to walk with him. Just walk with him simply.
Yeah. And can I just share like the story of Robin real quick? And
yes, Leslie? Yes, yes.
Okay, so I'll just share this real quick because you'll have to get more details in the book. But the coolest thing is that I felt called to lead a mission trip to the Czech Republic. I mean, I've been there. I just fell in love with it. My heart just went out to the country. So, and I always wanted that for my kids, my teen kids, like see the world and see the needs of other people. So the first time we're in the Czech Republic, we were able to pass out Bibles on the street. And it ends up being like the same exact place where my friend smuggled Bibles in years earlier, like the same town. Like,
so
how does God, and how does God even put those details together? And now my daughters, and I won't go into that whole story because her story is so amazing, but now she's a full-time missionary there. And it's like this one little idea, like go into the world. And I'm like, I felt called to the Czech Republic. God's like, I've been working in this area for generations. Like one of my best friends smuggled Bibles there. And now my daughter is like serving full-time there. And it's just like, I thought this little idea and I could have just brushed it off. I could have been like, oh, I can't fit that to my life right now. But God's like, this is something I've been planning and something that I have planned for the future. And it's just like those little nudges from God where it's like, okay, yeah, God does say go into the world. And I feel like this is maybe something he's telling me, and not to brush those things away.
Yeah.
That the God of the universe is and can talk to us about these things. And if it's agreeing with his word, like going into the world and sharing our testimony or any of these things, then it's probably from him. Like, we don't make that stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, we don't make up stuff to get us out of our comfort zone at all. Like, that is from God.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And this book will help encourage you to get out of your comfort zone in the best way. So I love it. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Okay. So now let's jump into one of the new questions that I'm asking people who are on the show. So we'll skip our, you know, my little questions I do at the end because you've already done them before. But this is one for everybody. So what is one way that you are cultivating loveliness in your life right now?
Oh, this is a really good question. So I've been thinking about, like, what have I wanted to, like, impart, the like the lovely things that I want to impart with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we're just cultivating is thankfulness and just like kind words and thankfulness to each other. So we've been, when we sit down to do our homeschool, we've been talking about scripture verses that deal with not grumbling and thankfulness. And but it's like, it takes active conversations. So we get to always tell our kids, like, don't grumble, don't whine, don't complain.
Yeah.
But it takes those like actual cultivation.
Yeah.
Is like digging the hole and planting the seed and watering it. So
yeah.
Every day we'll talk about these things, like how were you thankful today? When were times that you had unkind words instead of being thankful for someone else or thankful to God? And so every day before we actually start like our homeschool stuff, we'll just talk about this. And it was really cool. So at dinner, just like an hour ago, we were sitting there and I have a preteen, so I have a 12-year-old and 2 14-year-olds that, I mean, the hormones going on there. And anyway, so it's like there's days like they're just griping at each other. And she said this. And I mean, so one of the 14-year-olds says, you know, me and my sisters haven't been talking very nice to each other. So I just think right now we need to all go around the table and say what we're thankful for other people. So like she came up with that. And I'm like, yeah, they're like listening. So I think it does take that cultivation. They're like figuring out instead of just saying, oh, my kids complain or my kids don't listen or whatever, but it takes those moments of thinking through like what do I need to work on. So right now we're just cultivating, trying to just attitudes of thankfulness instead of attitudes of grumbling and complaining about each other.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. I think we're like I mentioned, we're getting into our school year right now, and so for me it's trying to cultivate grace on my school year because you know, we've had some extra challenges come up. I mean, there have always been challenges, but kind of like putting names on things, like certain learning difficulties and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so this year, heading into it, I've just had to, like, I have my plans, for goodness sakes. I wrote a homeschool planning course. You know, and it was so funny because this is the first year, like, I put out this course and then I'm like, I don't know what to plan for our family, of course. But I feel like it's God saying, like, yes, you can have your plans, but you need to have grace in your day because I am having to spend a lot more one-on-one time with the kids. And I have 3 who are fully homeschooling this year, and they all need significant one-on-one time with me. And trying to embrace that, and, like, with my second son, he's 8 years old, and he learns better when he really knows that he has my attention. And so it takes me, like, not taking my phone with me, going in his room with him, sitting on his bed, and just sitting there together, and we both, like, have something yummy to drink and invest that time into just totally giving my attention to him. And when I do that, he responds amazingly well, and he gets his work done, and he's really hardworking. But as soon as I'm distracted, that's gone. That all falls apart. And so, like, giving us both the grace to be like, you know what? I am not going to get as much done with my platform and my voiceover career and my, like, all these things this year. It may take us until dinner to get our school year or school day done this year. And we may have to do some stuff after dinner. But if it means that I can have one-on-one time with each kid and really spend the time that they need to make the progress that they need to make, then it's worth it, and everything else will fall into line. And just, like, being okay with that I might have to let the house go a little, I might have to let a lot of other things go a little, but that it's going to be worth it. And
even though that's a challenge now, it's going to be an awesome memory later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, or an awesome, just like a bonding thing.
Yeah.
Because even, like, my oldest son, who's 28, he had a hard time, like, when he did his work, like, reading it to himself and answering questions was super hard.
Mm-hmm.
But if I sat there and we took turns reading back and forth, and then he answered the questions, he, like, got it.
Yeah.
So, and you're thinking like, oh, he's going to have trouble when he gets into college because mom's not going to be there to read. No, actually, he was fine. Like when he got to college. But I could think back to those times where I would sometimes get frustrated, like, oh, I need to sit there and read this whole passage to you again.
Yeah.
But now I look back that he's an adult, you know, and like, I really cherish that we had that time together.
Yeah, absolutely. And then now with your adopted kids, like, you've made more of that. You've made, like, you know, reading aloud such a main staple of your homeschool, which you guys can all go back and listen to on our former episodes of Trisha. But yeah, I love that it creates those bonds. I just have to constantly remember, like, remind myself of that.
Yeah, so, me too. Yeah. Me too, when the laundry is sitting there and I didn't get to it.
Yep. Like, what? You people want someplace to sit in the living room? The couch shouldn't be covered in laundry all the time? That's silly. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me again. It was so good to really kind of be able to dive into your book and pick it apart with you.
Oh, I just always love talking to you. And I'm glad I get to do it online and offline.
Yes,
just,
I know.
I just appreciate your friendship.
Well, I appreciate your friendship more than you know. So thank you so much, Trisha.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So that's it for this week's episode. Like I said earlier, if you really want to support Trisha and read an amazing book that will just really encourage you to be walking out your faith, then go click on our link in the show notes, which you can find at boldturquoise.com/39. And you will be able to find the book on Amazon, read it, really enjoy it, take everything you can from it. If you get it before October 1st, then you also get that prayer book, 30 Days of Prayer as You Walk It Out, which I think you guys are going to love also. And if you really want to take it to the next level and support Trisha, then leave a review in Amazon too. I'm really finding that's one of the top ways that we can be supporting our favorite authors, is leaving reviews on Amazon, Goodreads, any other sites where you buy books, because it really helps the publishers to see, oh, this is a valuable book. And it helps the book buyers, like Amazon, to see that people are reading it, they're interested in it, and they want to buy more copies. So it just really helps them so much. So if you want to support your favorite authors, that's one of the number one ways to do it. All right, thank you again to PrepDish for sponsoring this episode. Make sure you go over to @boldturquoise on Instagram to enter our giveaway. I think you guys are going to love that. And until next time, which will be in 2 weeks with Mary DeMuth, go be bold and gracious.